Howdy, kids, and welcome to another episode of Escaping the Cave, Tunzel X-Pon. Hi there, I'm Todd. This is number 132. Record date, very early morning hours of April the 30th, 2024. Hi. How's life? That's the last of my microphone experiments. I don't know that you'd notice, probably not, but I do. I've been rotating these microphones I've got here, trying to figure out which one I like. This is the one that every podcaster in America, it feels like if you're doing any kind of a podcast, that this thing is almost required. The Shure, S-H-U-R-E, the Shure SM7B. One of these days, I think I'm going to do a YouTube video comparing all of these. I hardly ever use this thing. I got it basically for a guest mic. A lot of people love it. But back in the radio days, a couple of the stations that I worked at had this microphone. I never really liked it. I don't know. It's all personal preference and probably how I'm using it or not using it, but people love it. And it is simple. You gotta give it that. Getting to know you. Is this the sharing part? Are we bonding? Do you feel closer to me? You want a hug? I'm in a mood. Semi to moderately sarcastic tonight. It's been a week, huh? These protests continuing. Anti-Israel is how Fox News is portraying it. And pro-Palestine is how CNN portrays it, and I really don't care how MSNBC is spinning it. Well, it's weird. You bounce around these channels, these different outlets, news, air quotes, sources, how they present it, right? I can't do MSNBC again. Like I said this last week, I say probably every week. I don't pay any attention to it, and I haven't for a long, long time. I used to watch, Keith Olbermann. I guess back in, the mid-2000s. You gotta suck me in a little bit. You know, I left my Coke on the other side of the studio. Excuse me for a second. Can't go without this. Anyway. Yeah, Olbermann liked to fancy himself as the modern-day Edward R. Murrow. And I kind of bought into that for a little while. He was on the air. He was on MSNBC when I was coming kind of to the tail end of the radio days. And I kind of admired what he did. I mean, I was reading a lot of Michael Moore at that point. But he went on the air, and he was unabashedly a commentator. He took a side. He went against George Bush. He went against the Iraq War. I used a lot of his material, a lot of his audio, and some of the pieces that I would produce at the various radio stations. I don't want to say I idolized him, but I looked up to him a little bit. He kind of was the guy when I was doing rock radio. And I was introducing Led Zeppelin, trying to pretend like I liked Sarah Bareilles, and I didn't do a good job at that. But I was talking up songs, reading these liner cards, these promos, had a bit of a morning show out there. But that was what I wanted to do. And there was no way I was going to get away with it. Very few people have the trust to be able to do this on a for-profit radio station because the radio station's taking a big risk. If you suck and the advertisers start their exodus away from you, well, they lose money. But Olbermann was the guy. I was looking at him like, yeah, that's the kind of thing I think I would like to do on the radio. And then something happened with him. He gave birth, hatched Rachel Maddow. And then he got shit canned. He's a weird case study because he is immensely talented. Believe it or not, whether you agree with his politics or you don't, the man had skills all the way back to ESPN. Keith Olbermann and Dan Patrick on SportsCenter back in the 90s. It was an event. He was that good. And then when he moved off to news, it was like, eh? And he kind of, yeah, unsheathed himself. Staked out a definite claim in the media landscape. And then he went away. I don't know what he's doing now. I think he had a show on, was it GQ? Something. But he can't find work. Nobody wants him. As talented as he is, as smart as he is, as articulate as he is, as good on camera as he is, nobody wants to hire the guy. Nobody wants him anywhere near their building, around their people. Anyhow, it's been a hell of a week, even without Keith Olbermann's presence. Joe Biden had a poll come out this week. I think it was done by CNN, not exactly an anti-Biden outlet. Mr. Biden has the lowest poll numbers of any president at this point in his term in 70 years. What is it, Truman? Now, who we're talking about here? I think it's around 38% approval. By way of comparison, I think Trump was at 46. He's below Nixon, below Jimmy Carter, George H.W. Bush. Carter was one term. W. the first was one term. Yeah, not looking good for him. And I was watching CNN yesterday. And they had one of the Democrat spinmeisters over there saying that it's the poll numbers are because, you're going to love this, it's because Dementia Joe hasn't fondled, fellated, and appeased Hamas and their college-embedded U.S. sleeper cells enough. He hasn't leaned in to the pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel crowd enough. That's what this guy was saying yesterday. Like, really? You think that's it, huh? Yeah. Well, by chance, there's another poll out there. Found this one on the New York Post website. 80% of Americans, according to this poll, take it for what it's worth, one poll, but that poll says that 80% of Americans favor Israel over Hamas in this conflict. 80%. And most back what most people consider the inevitable Rafah operation. 80% of the country favors Israel over Hamas. Duh. Is anybody out there shocked? Raise your hand. I can see you. Raise your hand. I don't see any hands of anybody that's shocked out there. Well, no, I see a couple of those Columbia fucks. Hey, okay, put your hands down. You need to shave those pits. 80%. Maybe I say it every week. I might just say it every week. In fact, it may find its way into the title of this podcast, He Who Chases Two Rabbits Catches Neither. It's Confucius. And it's applicable. Dementia Joe, or whoever changes his diaper and feeds him his pudding, has been on a rabid hunt for months. And personally, Biden lost me for good. About the time that he stuffed that wrinkled paw up Dearborn's burka. Pandering to Dearborn. Criticizing Israel to get votes from Dearborn. From Dearborn. It failed. It didn't work. It was never going to be enough for these people. It was never going to be enough for the comradely Marxist hordes. He was never going to win over in the first place. He was never going to get these lunatics. He was never going to get these far leftists. He was never going to get the Bernie crowd again. He wasn't going to get them again. He wasn't going to get AOC's crowd or Tlaib's crowd. Not going to get Ilhan Omar's followers. None of them. None of these people that you see finger clapping, whining and complaining about gendered language, you're not going to get those people. Joe Biden was never going to get any of those people. But he tried. And in the process, managed to alienate anybody who might have been on the fence. Anybody who supports Israel over Hamas, who may have been on the fence for this guy. He alienated him. Everybody sees through it. Everybody knows what's going on here. Everybody knows why he's pandering, why he's saying the things he's saying to Israel in their conflict with Hamas after October 7th. Let's not forget what happened October 7th, by the way. You never hear about that. You just never hear about it, these protests. You never hear about the images that came out of Israel, out of these kibbutzes back on October 7th. You never hear it mentioned. All you hear about it is the poor suffering of the poor, poor Palestinians, the oppressed. The oppressed. They're being oppressed by the little tiny nation that all of these other Arab countries surround. They're being oppressed by them. Those poor, poor Palestinians. You never hear anything about the hostages who, I agree with Trump, there may be four or five live, but the rest of them are dead. Otherwise, you might hear some negotiations, some actual good faith negotiations going on to try to end to get the ceasefire. These radical Islamic extremists are not known for keeping their prisoners alive. Do you remember all the beheading videos we saw from ISIS, Al-Qaeda, 15, 10, 15, 20 years ago? They're not known for their mercy. You never hear about anything that happened on October 7th, except you might hear that Israel deserved it. Now, that might come spewing out of somebody's mouth. This week, we saw people getting on their knees in Islamic prayer at these encampments, these Occupy-style encampments. This is what this is. We got the idea from Occupy, a failed movement in and of itself. Nobody gave a shit about Occupy. They paid attention for a month. How long have these little shits been doing this? How long have they been squatting in public spaces on these campuses? I guess maybe Occupy was relevant for, what was it? Maybe 4 or 5 months? They started having these gatherings, these Occupy marches that 15 people showed up to and to see, try as they might to get a favorable angle. I understand photography. I understand getting the angle to make it look like you've got this huge gathering of people. But despite that, no. They sort of evaporated into like a fart in the revolutionary wind. This one seems to be spreading right now. But still, I would love to hear. I would take you a lot more seriously. Whether or not you're at these protests or you're just somebody that's spouting off about the poor Palestinians being oppressed by little tiny Israel, I'd take you a hell of a lot more seriously if you even mentioned, had ever mentioned, most of you just keep your mouth shut about October 7th. You don't say anything. You show no sympathy, empathy, horror at what happened on October 7th. Yet, oh my God, Jesus Christ, you talk about the poor Palestinians. You're like motherfucking Teresa. Really? What's wrong with this picture here? What's wrong with this picture? You've taken the oppressor, oppressed Marxist red pill. I only say red pill because red is Marxist. And somehow you've bought into this line. How do you get there? How do you do that in your head? You're literally surrounded by people, countries that want them exterminated, eradicated. They're saying it. They are literally saying it at these protests, these pro-Hamas protests. They're literally saying, from the river to the sea. Some of the more brave ones out there will actually get in front of a camera and say the quiet part. It's not so quiet anymore, is it? They'll actually get up and say, yeah, we want Israel wiped off the map. What does that mean? If you want the state of Israel wiped off the map, what does that mean? How do you intend to get there? Describe the process to me. That's what they want. Intifada. I can finally say it because I've heard it, maybe 200 times this week. Intifada, intifada. These idiots, these white kids, bouncing around the encampments, wearing burqas and Hamas headgear. Hezbollah flags flying, decorating George Washington's statue. Did you see that? Oh, that was nice. That was sweet. That was perfect, actually. There, I was talking about how you have to desecrate the monuments. You have to tear down the monuments to the gods, to the old religion, so you can establish your new. There's no better metaphor for what I was talking about than that image this week. I don't get it. I don't understand. I guess I don't understand if you take them at their word, right? But I think I might understand it if you don't. If you take this through a wider angle lens, this doesn't have to make any sense if you look at it or think of this as basically just an anti-American movement. They're going to say it's about Palestine. They're going to say it's about black lives and defunding the police, but everything, all of it's about, all of it, all those roads intersect. Ah, there's some intersectionality at tearing down the system. Anti-Americanism. Anything that runs counter or creates friction in this system or moves towards the goal of dismantling it, deconstructing it, I dare say, they'll embrace. How far back has this gone? I gotta tell you, I have video. You know what? I could probably do this. I have it digitized. I have video of me that I shot. I don't know if I have video of me. I don't think I shot myself there. But I did film other people. At the 2003, 21 years ago, the protest in New York City that I went to just before we invaded Iraq, that whole WMD thing, I think it was really in conjunction and combination with 9/11. I think that's really what kind of activated me politically. I wasn't political before any of that. A lot of people weren't political before that. But that was easy. You know, Scott Ritter and George Bush, you had, you know, the little conflict, he tried to kill my daddy, you know, thing with Saddam Hussein. And it was pretty clear to most people, not the media and not anybody who really just wanted to go to war to blow somebody up for 9/11. But it was pretty clear at that point in time that Iraq had nothing to do with September 11th. There were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. They had sent, you know, investigators in there. Came back with nothing. The guy who said there were none, oh my God, well, he had a sex charge dropped on him. That's convenient. Scott Ritter. That was easy. Going to that. And then being, you know, anti-Bush, that was easy too. Especially post-Iraq. Yeah. I mean, I've come a long way from there to here. This isn't the same. Those weren't anti-American protests. Those were anti-George Bush protests, perhaps. But that didn't feel like it was anti-American. So where did this come from? Where did all of this spring forth from? It's a good question. It's a very good question. But I'm going to say this one more time. These protests, these contemporary protests, the ones going on today, places like New York City, did you see the video from Austin? Whew. It was getting a little chippy, wasn't it? Columbia completely caved. I don't want to get into the specifics of this. I think you understand it. If you're paying attention to this, if you're still listening to me rant and rave about this right now, you probably have been paying at least a little attention. So I don't really need to narrate all of this for you. But I'm really curious. I am beyond curious about where all of this has come from. I've talked about this on the show in the last couple of weeks, talking about Christopher Rufo's book. I can never remember it when I'm in the moment. It's about how the institutions got captured. It's recent, just came out in the last, I guess, maybe 6 months. It answers a lot of these questions, and I think accurately. I've got my radar up on this. I've got my bullshit detector going as far as Mr. Rufo goes. I think he got this right. He may be a far-right propagandist, admittedly. But I think he got his research right. When it comes to Marcuse and the slow march, not Sherman's march. I think I said Sherman's march a couple of weeks ago or last week. Yeah, sorry. Or march to the sea. It's just the long march. Mao's long march, not the long march to the sea. That was Sherman. Sorry. It happens when, this is why I take notes. But I'm really curious. I want to know where all of this is coming from. I think we've got some pretty good answers. But the stated goal of these protests, the stated goal is they're pro-Palestine, this and the other thing. But if you watch, if you pay close attention to what's going on, if you actually read the signs and listen to the words that are coming out of their mouths, it's also about the deconstruction of the American system. With their replacement, as I've said, these are insurgents, these are ideological colonizers. The goal is to deconstruct what's here to replace it with something else. The new God, the God of cosmic justice, the collectivist God of cosmic justice. Utopia, a DEI dreamland. Yeah, it should be great, right? And to mention Joe Biden, he's played right into their hands with this. And desperate for votes, desperate for good press, desperate for these young kids who can't stand him. The only reason they got on board with him in 2020 was because of the pandemic and because the far-left avatar stood down and shut up. They had to make a deal with Biden in 2020. I'm going to go back to that just for a second, because there is no way. There's no way. And people like Cortez and Tlaib and Omar, Bernie, after he got out of the race, They made a deal. You shut up, leave Dementia Joe, leave the old man alone until we get through this election, and then you can get what you want from him. Just let us win. Please don't cockblock us. It's the only thing that explains what's happened with this man. He's, what is he, 81 now, 82, whatever the hell he is. How many 82-year-old woke flakes do you know? How many 82-year-olds do you know in your personal life who think that it's a good idea for boys to play girls' sports? Just this one is the only one I know. Something happened. It's a continuing theme here. He's pandering to the far left because either because he made an agreement, had a gentleman's agreement, a handshake agreement with the Democratic Socialists, these woke flakes, these comradely hordes that I've talked about. He had a gentlemanly agreement with them in 2020, or whoever's changing the diaper and feeding the pudding is in charge and making decisions and just propping him up like Weekend at Biden's.
Wipe my chin.
You see the video of him giving the speech, reading off a teleprompter the other day? He's up on stage,
blah, 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 blah.
Looks at the teleprompter, blah, 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 4 more years. The crowd starts chanting 4 more years. He reads the line, the instruction line in the speech telling him to pause. He reads it. How long, how many years has this man been reading off a teleprompter? How long has he been in politics? How many speeches has he given? Maybe a journalism student or a political science student who's practicing giving speeches their freshman year. I don't know. Do they do that? I've used a teleprompter before. I know how they work. He's been doing this for decades. Tell me there's not a cognitive decline when this old man starts to read the instructions off of the teleprompter. Because he's not fully there. Who's running things? If he can't read a teleprompter, you're telling me that he's going to negotiate and try to get the hostages back from Hamas? What the hell's going on here? You have enough common sense. You understand this if you have any old people or have ever had any old people. Who is running the damn country? The guy who can't read a teleprompter? Gets confused by the words on a teleprompter. He can't decipher in real time between the speech and the instruction line telling him what to do. Get the crowd going. 4 more years. They started it. They probably, coached into it. And then he just shits on it.
Pause.
His staff is so worried about the optics of his gait, his walk, the way he walks, that they've started to surround him on his way to the helicopter. Air Force 1-2, I presume. I don't know about that, but I saw it. They just gather in around him to take attention away from how infirm he is. It's disturbing. And we're supposed to believe this guy, this man, who was hyped up on something during the State of the Union. He gave a great speech. The State of the Union was great. Where's that guy? He doesn't show up anymore. It's because he was hyped up on something. They probably did the same thing to Trump. They probably had these secret drugs. Maybe it's some meth. Meth for the president. The presidential meth lab in the basement. I don't know. I don't have a problem with that, to be honest with you. Okay, well, if it sharpens him up, good. He needs it. What, is he going to take some years off his life? He's done pretty good. Let him have it. I don't care. But that man, I don't want him in charge. I think I would actually be a little more comforted. I would be comforted if I found out that somebody else was responsible for things in the Oval Office. I'd be pissed off. Be pissed off that we've been deceived and lied to, but I would feel better about the direction of things, how things are going to go, how things could possibly proceed. I would feel much better. At least move forward, at least till the election. Now, this man, Biden, he has played the part of Hamas's useful idiot. He's given aid and comfort to Israel's enemy by criticizing Israel, attacking one of those IDF units for stuff that happened sometime before October 7th. Now they're going to take funding away from a specific unit because of stuff that happened before October 7th. So why are they investigating it now? Why didn't they investigate before October 7th? Well, they need a pretext. Not hard to figure out, right? They probably started investigating, trying to find out, you know, what's really happening on the ground over there and found things that, whatever. Why are they investigating it so hard? Did anybody defund the unit that bombed or drone struck the wedding under Obama? No? Anybody ever held accountable for that? Our own people, our own government. Was anybody ever held accountable for that? But in response to what per capita is a far more devastating attack than 9/11 was, they're going to start nitpicking, micromanaging Israel's response to this? Aid and comfort to Israel's enemy. In response to Dearborn, to what's happening on the campuses around the country, these anti-Israel, anti-Semitic largely, pro-Hamas demonstrations and protests that are happening around the U.S. He's responding. He's letting these people dictate his motion, his movements forward, or somewhat is. He is a useful idiot. His kids have been indoctrinated. They are no different to me. I've said this before, maybe to somebody's horror out there, but I have compared those kids, these little sleeper cells that have awakened around the country, I've compared them to Westboro Baptist Church. Remember those kids 10, 15 years ago were holding up the signs, protesting soldiers' funerals? God hates the F-A-G word. Remember that? All these little kids, how horrified. Oh my God, how can you let a little kid do that? How can you do that to a child? How can you molest a child into believing these things or saying these things? Or how could you let a child hold these signs saying these horrific, terrible things? How indeed? Well, this is what happens when indoctrinated children grow up. Public school system shoving this stuff into these children for years. Again, I'll go back to Rufo. It started with the colleges. It started with the institutions. Invading, slowly marching into the institutions. Starting with the colleges. Well, it's gotten into the educational system. We all know this. Every single one of you knows this. Especially, I don't even have children, and I know this. If you have kids, tell me you don't understand that. Maybe you're a liberal. What are you doing? You're lost here, obviously. Sorry, might want to change the channel. But if you're a liberal, you probably go, oh, we're just teaching them to be better. If you're not, you probably have been seething in quiet rage. Maybe not so quiet rage. Oh, this has been going on for years and years and years. And there's another book I'd like to share with you. It's by William Storr. Again, remember I talked about him a couple of weeks ago? He's got a book called Selfie. Just like, you know, taking the picture. It's not one of his better known books. I bought it. I expected to hate it. But it gets into where this stuff started. Back in the 60s, I think with the Esalen Institute out in California. Focusing on the ego. And self-esteem. You're so perfect. You just need to be self-actualized. Your feelings are all great. Be who you are. Be who you really are and tell everybody else to go fuck themselves. That kind of thing. Sound familiar? The Esalen Institute, I don't know that I've ever talked about that, but I'm very familiar with it. It's around Big Sur of Highway 1, I think, California. But this is a big deal back in the 60s. A huge deal. And something happened, I think, with one of the... God, I'm getting off into the weeds here. Need to go back and check my notes. But I think something happened, some scandal or a suicide. Something happened with somebody, one of the main players, main characters at this place. They kind of lost their influence. But that self-esteem bullshit, That started moving into the education system. There's a great story in there. God, I need to research. I'm going to do a bit on this. I'm going to do a piece on this at some point. I'm going to go dig this out. I've got the notes on my Kindle. One of the studies at one of the universities was falsified. It was basically a bullshit study. But it was that study on self-esteem that started this whole self-esteem movement into education, I think in the late 80s, early 90s, just after I got out of high school. So depending on how old you are, if you were in school in the early 90s, you probably started to notice this. How do you feel? Tom, what about Johnny's feelings? Everybody should get a trophy. You know, the old trope. The stereotype, right? Well, that's where this shit started coming from. And I think what we're seeing today, I think, is the poison oak that has sprung from the little acorn that fell out of the Esalen Institute in the 70s and maybe the 80s. Again, I need to check my notes on this. The book is called Selfie. William Storr. I love this guy. He is my favorite new author. I have consumed pretty much almost everything, not everything, but a lot of his material. And again, it's like finding the headwaters. I read this book on Stanley Livingston back in the 1800s. The big thing was to find the headwaters of the Nile, find the source of the Nile, and they never could. A lot of the stuff that I'm reading from Storr feels like I'm heading that direction, getting closer to the headwaters of whatever this is. Rufo's played a part. Nah, I'm not going to reiterate all that. Anyway, not sure where that tangent began. Was talking about Joe Biden. Lost me. Done with him. I don't know that I'm going to vote for Trump. Haven't decided that yet. But I'm not going to be supporting Joe Biden. I may just go vote for, you know, down ballot stuff. But that man is not getting my vote. I'm done with him. And if they end up going into Chicago, which is going to be, by the way, the DNC convention in Chicago is going to look like the 68 convention in Chicago. If you know anything about history, anti-war protests, Lyndon Baines Johnson decided he wasn't going to run in 1968, did it late, did it in March, I think. So the Democrats had a primary, Bobby Kennedy and Humphrey, I think, right? Well, Bobby Kennedy gets shot, and the 68 convention just blew up in Chicago because you had all these anti-war protesters going in. They were trying to figure out who was going to run against Richard Nixon in November of 68. If you're from Michigan, you're a baseball fan, you know anything about the Detroit Tigers, you know that in 1968, there were riots all over the country. Bobby Kennedy, Martin Luther King shot. The country was in chaos in 1968, including at the Democratic Convention in Chicago. There's video all over the place, cops beating these protesters. A lot of people, including people who are protesting around the country, think that exact same thing. And they've said it. They are making plans and arrangements to protest. I alluded to this in another episode. I've got a video that talks about this out there. They're saying they're going to go to Chicago again in August to protest and demonstrate against the Democrats, supposedly because of what's going on with Israel. Or is it just an anti-American temper tantrum? Anti-American intifada? The gringo intifada. Is that what that is? Is that what this is? You're going to dress up in your burkas? You're going to face Mecca and kneel down in prayer? Maybe wash some feet? Anyway, look for that in August. I have not looked forward to any of these conventions. I don't watch these things. You're not telling me anything. You're giving propaganda speeches. You're giving PR speeches. You're feeding people bullshit the whole time. They don't make any sense to me. They don't matter to me. This one, I'm going to watch. Going to be good. And here's the funny thing. A lot of these commentators, depending on who you watch, depending on what network, like I said earlier, depending on what network you watch, will determine the angle of the spin, whether it's pro-protesters or it's anti-protesters, pro-Hamas, pro-Israel, pro-Palestine, whatever. Depending on the network, Again, I don't watch MSNBC. I can take a pretty good guess where they're coming from. I know where CNN's coming from. Oh, they're always sympathetic to the protesters, the righteous protesters. Oh, these children, they're just trying to change their world. Fox News the other way around. Anyway, when it comes to these protesters looking forward to August, I'm sure there are plenty of moist Marxist panties looking forward to the righteous protest, the righteous expression of outrage. Changing the world with your protests and your demonstrations at Grant Park and beyond in Chicago. I'm sure of it. I'm sure they think they're going to change the world. I'm sure they have images. They've been fed these images of these protests in 1968 and told, oh my God, they were part of the solution. They helped end the Vietnam War, which didn't end until what, 1974, 75? Do you think they've read enough about the 60s, about American history, to understand that those protests, in conjunction and coordination with the riots and the assassinations in 1968, got Richard Nixon elected? Have they noticed who won that election? Who was in office after 1968? Starting in 1969, not a Democrat. Richard Milhouse Nixon. Huh. Kind of weird, ain't it? If you know anything about history, if you're familiar with Richard Nixon, he ran on a law and order campaign to end the violence, end the chaos, crack down on the chaos. Once he got into the White House, and he won. I don't remember. I think it was 1969. Was that Altamont? Hell's Angels? How long after that was Kent State? That was the end of the 60s. Was Kent State. The opiate 1970s began with Kent State. But while you're having visions of replicating the righteous protests of 1968, just keep in mind, Nixon won. And you're part of the reason those protests, the images of those protests, combined with the images of those streets burning, kind of like BLM in 2020, the assassinations in Vietnam, the anti-Americanism that was on display, led to Richard Nixon, helped elect Richard Nixon, Richard Milhouse Nixon. Nobody liked Nixon, man. But he won. Not only did he win, he got reelected in 72. He did something right, apparently. Hunter S. Thompson loved him. I'm relatively certain that very few of these children, these indoctrinated children, have any idea. I think they just see themselves as changing the world. Their messiah complex is an overdrive, got them drunk, got them intoxicated with self-righteousness, gonna save the world. We are on our way to the Holy Land, the promised land, utopia. Collectivist nirvana. The brotherhood of man. How's that working out? I was thinking this to myself the other day. How's the brotherhood of man thing working out? How's that global government, that global citizenry thing that we hear so much about? How is that looking now? Not only in this country, but around the world. How's that working out? How are we doing? Went and saw Civil War yesterday. I finally broke down. Wasn't sure I wanted to see it, but that was the predominating thought through my head watching that movie. It really, like most people say, not a movie reviewer, okay? I suggest you go see it. Cinematically, it's beautiful. It's well done. It's fantastic. The stories, it's okay. But the thing that I was thinking about the entire way through this, I put a lot of things into the context of the material that I talk about on the show, and I'm just thinking to myself, this is tribalism. This is the worst of humanity. You give people a group, you give them something to fight for and a team to fight against. There you go. And I kept thinking to myself, we're sitting in the movie theater, munching on some popcorn. I kept thinking to myself, brotherhood of man, my ass. How are you going to do that? And seeing these visuals on this big ass screen, we did not see it in IMAX. You don't need to. Although it'd be pretty cool. You just don't. It's a good movie. Anyway. Think of myself. Now, these images aren't that far-fetched. There have been worse images of this than this in warfare before. Nothing close to what happened on October 7th. And you think that the Brotherhood of Man, this global utopia, the global thetathenray, you think that's coming? How?
We just have to come together.
Over me?
I don't think so. The urge to save humanity, the urge to save the world, is usually a cover for the urge to rule it. And beware of those who come walking in with a Messiah complex. We're in the role. We're going to save the world. We're going to bring humanity to whatever. I've been around enough of these people. Personally, I like first-person interactions with enough of these people. I think they do believe their own bullshit, but almost always it's a matter of wanting to take control. I know better than you. I know better than everybody. We know better than everybody how things should go, how things should be. And we want to take the wheel and do it. Jim Jones. I have a wonderful biography back here. It's going to be another show. Have I mentioned that? Probably. I'm going to do a show on that guy at some point down the road. He was the original woke flake. Did you know that? His church in Indianapolis, before all this crap out in California, I think it was the first integrated church in Indiana. He was all about equity and inclusion, diversity, equity, and inclusion. He was all about it. He also used religion to, not going to spoil the story. It's instructive. He was a Messiah. He fancied himself as literally the Messiah. He sold himself as the Messiah. And a lot of people bought it up. He was going to save the world. He turned into exactly what you would expect. The controlling tyrant who injected children with cyanide. Rather than lose control, lose his collectivist commune down in Guyana. Rather than be held accountable. Rather than have his people leave by their own choice. He decided to kill them. For their own good. Beware of the Messiah. Anybody who thinks they're a Messiah, anybody who's acting like a Messiah, anybody who's trying to save you and lead you by the hand to the promised land. Grab your wallet, hug your kids, and get the fuck away from them. And to bring this back home, all of these people on these campuses, all of these people in this ideology, this invasive species ideology, talking about global unity, the Brotherhood of Man, the global community, this utopia. Bullshit. It's never worked. The rhetoric is the same. People have tried it before, but why is it always ending up with a bunch of dead people? Famine, murder, gulags. It's happening with the Uyghurs in China. Nobody talks about that. It's all about Palestinians, but what's happening with that? Well, what's happening with these Cuba? How many people did the Cubans kill? How many people did Che Guevara personally execute or order killed? It never works. And we're supposed to listen. How many times do you have to, you haven't done it the right way? How many times are you supposed to hear that before you just want to smack somebody in the mouth? Like the Batman meme where he's smacking Robin. Stop. But again, you're dealing with children most of the time. You're dealing with children who think that they have found something new. Like they've discovered something brand new. Oh my God, this socialism thing sounds really cool. Why has nobody ever tried to do it? A couple other notes before I go. I learned a new word this week. This is a good one. You ready? Gynocratic. G-Y-N-O-C-R-A-T-I-C. Gynocratic. They're anti-patriarchy. Gynocratic. Militant feminism is gynocratic. A couple other neat things this week. as far as the protests go, Flag Boy or Flag Man or whatever his name is, if you've seen him, he is going, I think he's gone to one or two different encampments, like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning with a bullhorn, started waking people up, waking these kids up in their tents. I personally would love to see him take like the Proud to Be an American. As bad as that song is, I'd love to see him take a big stereo like Tony Soprano on the boat to his neighbor's house. Do that. To Proud to Be an American, maybe some Toby Keith. Got a kick out of him. Also, there were some frat boys at Arizona State this week who descended on one of these encampments from Arizona State, started tearing the tents down as the police looked on. I can only imagine that these children, these protesting, screaming, whining, complaining, colicky children, were wondering why the police weren't helping them. Why aren't you stopping them? the ones that they want defunded, the ones that they scream and call fascists by day, want protection, want their property protected by night. I don't know this for sure. I don't know that they did that. I'm enjoying the imagery and the assumption that they did. And Ilhan Omar, oh, she's a peach, isn't she? She showed up for her photo op of solidarity at Columbia University, I think it was this week. Walking around, getting her picture taken, giving hugs, solidarity hugs. Was she censured for anti-Semitic statements once upon a time? Is there any shock that she's there? Where's Rashida been? Where's Tlaib? Has she shown up there yet? Who else we got? AOC, oh yeah, she's been a peach as well. She gets enough airtime. I'm sick of talking about AOC. You don't think that they'd nominate her, do you? At the convention? Come August? I think my cat would do a better job than AOC.
How dare you?
On that note, I'm going to wrap things up for this one. If I do that now, pretty much guarantees a second episode this week because there was supposed to be another segment to this, but I went out a long time. And I was going to go out by asking that question. I'll ask it one more time. How did we get here? How did these kids, these colicky children, the colicky children of Columbia et al., how did they get here? How did we have so much anti-Americanism flood in these campuses? Well, I have an idea. We'll get into that, I think, next time. Yeah. Sociological propaganda. A couple new videos up at the YouTube channel. Go check those out. It's a slow process. I don't know why. It is. But there's a couple new ones up there. We've got a couple more in the works, I think. Look for another episode hopefully later this week. Maybe soon. If not, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks for clicking in. So long.